May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn 307.
This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, part of the first book of Kings and chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we will read Solomon's prayer from verse 22 through to verse 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, commencing reading at verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David my father that thou promisedest him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that thou promisedest him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbour, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron. that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Now let us turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 42, the 42nd Psalm. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, thou who art the same yesterday and today and for ever, we come before thy majesty and humble ourselves before thee and seek, Lord, thy mercy through the blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We do thank thee that once more we are able to gather together around thy word. We do pray for thy blessing upon each gathered here this evening. Do grant that thou hast come and meet the needs of thy people, and that thou hast speak to them and cause them to hear thy voice, and that thou hast magnify thy beloved Son in their midst. O Lord, we do thank thee that thou art the mediator of the new covenant, that it is thy precious blood that is the seal of that new testament, and that thou hast given to the church of God to remember this in the ordinances of thy house. O Lord, we do thank thee that thou art the living God, the true God, the eternal God, who is our refuge, that thy name is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. We do thank thee that there is with thee forgiveness that thou mayest be feared, and that thou hast not dealt with us as our sins have deserved. Lord, thou art a good and merciful and long-suffering God. And Lord, we would trace thy faithfulness in all the promises, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And Lord, let those promises be to the good and blessing of each gathered here. May they receive them. May, Lord, they embrace them. May they plead them. And may they prove that thou hast fulfilled those promises on their behalf. Lord, we have read how Solomon realized this and gave thanks unto thee. And may there be those here also that realize that in their own souls that thou hast fulfilled thy promises and hast blessed them likewise. We would seek of thee that thy salvation might be made known this evening to those who know it not, and that thou hast granted that those that are at ease in Zion might be made to be in want and to have a real need of salvation, and that each praying soul that seeks for thy blessing and seeks for mercy, that thou hast lead them on and grant them another line, another lesson in the school of Christ, a token for good, a help by the way, food from heaven, manna for their souls. O Lord, do send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Do remember, dear friends here who have sick loved ones. We pray for them in hospital and at home, but do help those that care for them, those that see their loved ones and they sink and they are unwell. Lord, do help them in their caring. Help them in their attendance. Help them in their private feelings and in their petitions and their longings and their prayers for their loved one. O Lord, that thou would remember them in this time of need. And Lord, that thou would bless to the young, the rising generation. Lord, that there might be that knowledge of thee while young. We thank thee for the children here, the little ones, and we ask thy blessing upon them, and that thou hast called them by grace while young. We thank thee for the young people and those who, coming to years, choose and desire to come to the house of God. Bless them, and Lord, may they find thee, the Saviour, here. O Lord, we do seek of thee that help for our families. We mourn on account of the abominations done in this land and the terrible shame, oh, the terrible position that as a nation to even think of seeking to redefine the definition of marriage. Lord, that it ever should be so, to be ever even uttered. Lord, we mourn over it. We confess our sin, our guilt, our solemn position as a nation, and beg of thee mercy that we might be of those who sigh and cry on account of the abominations done in the land. We fear lest we become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We pray for the renewings that come through thy word, the washing of it, a tender conscience, a teachable spirit, and that we might come unto thee, thou who changest not, and that thou hast granted that we might be a prepared people for a prepared place, washed and cleansed in that fountain, open for sin and all uncleanness. We give thee thanks for providential blessings, for our food and raiment, for loved ones and friends, for thy care and thy keeping, for the blessing that thou hast given us of able to gather in thy house. Lord, so many mercies that thou hast given, and Lord, we thank thee for them all. O Lord, do bless with a hearing ear now, and O do grant us thy Holy Spirit, come through the word, make it to be a living word in our souls. And Lord, do grant that needful grace and ability to set forth thy word. For Lord, that is of the ability which God giveth. And Lord, we confess our dependence upon thee. But O Lord, above all, do grant, Lord, that it might be, that there be the word of a king with power, that it might be not to hear the words, but to see the effect and the power. Lord, may there be those things done this day, that it may be in years to come, there is remembered that this is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day that thou didst visit a soul here, bring them into need, bring them into liberty, Lord, to do what thou wouldst do, that it might be said, this is the Lord's work, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Oh, that we might be encouraged and strengthened to see the Lord's work, and to see the hand of our God, and to see thy goings in the sanctuary. O Lord, do grant to the dear brethren here that they might see it from time to time, and it strengthen and encourage them. We pray for this people, that if it could please thee to place over them a pastor after thine own heart, that thou hast granted unto them to be of one mind in the Lord, to be exercised and to be directed and guided to him, that may go in and out amongst them. We thank thee that thou hast sent forth recently thy servants into the vineyard. And Lord, may it please thee to establish them, strengthen them and help them, and that from amongst them also in due time that thou hast raised up pastors that shall go in and out amongst thy people. And so, Lord, we bear the people before thee here. See that thou hast remembered them in all their petitions. And where Zion travails, O bring forth her children. And Lord, where there is a waiting upon thee, help them to wait, and to wait, and to wait, until thou dost come, and thou dost answer, and thou dost appear for them. We thank thee that thou dost regard the prayer of the destitute, and will not forget their cry. And Lord, thou dost know thy people, and what is the burden of their heart, and what is their sighs, and what it is that casts them down and makes them sorrowful. And Lord, do grant that there might be a little picking up, a raising up this evening, a little encouragement through thy word. Lord, yea, may there be even a big encouragement. Lord, we commit the word to thee. We commit the people to the word of thy grace. Lord, we thank thee for Calvary and for thy precious shed blood, and that thou art he that liveth, yea, who was dead but yet liveth evermore. And Lord, do bless us with thy fell presence here this evening. Teach us to sing thy worthy praise, and that may we exalt thee and lift thee up high. May poor sinners put the crown on the head of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen.
Hymn 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the psalm that we read, Psalm 42, and reading for our text verses 5 and 6. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. This morning we spoke to you concerning a soul that believed in God and yet was a troubled soul. And this evening, what is upon my spirit is a cast down soul. The cast down soul that we have in our text and that which is put in the Word of God. For a cast down soul. There are places in Scripture, like with the Apostle Paul, where he was given the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, where we are not told exactly what it was. And it is left for each of the people of God that come into those places for the Lord to apply it personally in their case. And really, with being cast down, there are many things that cast down many people. Many things that may be used to bring low and to discourage. And I would not want to, in looking at this word, rule it out or take away from any here that may come in and may feel cast down. And what I set before you is the reason for the casting down from this psalm. And you say it doesn't come where I am. I hope it does. And I hope it is that all things that may cast us down, however small it might be, that it might lead us to the same remedy, the same help and same consolation as what is set forth here. But in this psalm we are told, our text does begin asking the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And it is almost asked with the question, yes, there are these reasons why, but with the helps and with the blessings, that soul should not be cast down. And there may be one here like that. And you might feel this, I am cast down, but why am I? Why should I be? You might have had even your wife or your husband tell you and say, look, there's all of these reasons and all of these things, why are you cast down? And you might think, well, as a believer in the Lord, as one that has a hope in the Lord, why should I be cast down? And you might ask that question, then come to the second verse here, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. The Lord's dear people can't just shake themselves out of their being cast down and say, well, there's no reason why you should be. Just pull yourself out of it. Just get out of it. And the Lord means that to be so. He orders that to be so, that the reason for the lifting out and the deliverance is through the blessing of the Word of God and the Spirit bringing the Word of God, and that is what lifts up the soul. What comfort is it if we thought, well, wherever we're low, we can just use a bit of our own strength of will and of mind and pull ourselves out of it. Is that all glorifying to God? It's not. So don't be surprised, dear friends. If the Lord has a purpose of mercy for you, that you fall down like in Psalm 107, there is none to help. And you cry unto the Lord in your trouble, and he delivers you out of your distresses. While we can find the strength of our own hand to get us out of our holes and our ditches and our dumps and all of our low places, we'll never have a need for the Lord or his word. We have these places in the word of God that come and they show that position that a sinner is in. And it shows the scripture way, the way the Lord would have his dear people act in that situation, and that they might be delivered out of it, not by the sense and reason way, but because it is set before us in the word. If we went to an earthly physician, we'd expect that physician to prescribe what was needed, what exercises, what path, what medicine. And we follow what they said. Why? Because we fully understood the medicine and because we fully understood what was happening? No, because we trusted that they knew what they were setting us to. And they knew that that would do us good. The Lord does that in the Word of God. And faith holds on to that. Faith holds on to it. This is the Lord's way. Even if we are cast down, whatever position we'll be in, if we can feel that we are in the Lord's path, we're not in bypath meadow, we're actually walking in the Lord's way, though it be a low path, though it be a discouraging path, that in itself is a help for a soul. And so here we are told, in the psalmist, he has enemies, and in verse 3 we read, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue saying to me, where is thy God?" That was what was continually being cast at this soul. Where is thy God? Now you can come into many exercises, many things that concern you, that the enemy will come like this. You waiting on the Lord for something in providence. You waiting on the Lord for a blessing in your soul. You waiting on the Lord for those to come into the church of God. You're waiting on the Lord to supply you with a pastor. You're waiting on the Lord to build you up. And as you wait, the enemy said, "Where is thy God?" There's no change, there's nothing done. And that casts down. You get low and low on that. And so we have the psalmist, he says why, and later on, we read even more particularly what was going on in his soul. He says in verse 7, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." He says, in verse 9, "I was saying to God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" That's what he's thinking. Why hast thou forgotten me? That's what Zion said. That she'd been forgotten, forsaken. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? These are the things that were felt in his soul. "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" God that seems to be silent. God that seems to be not working in providence. A God that seems to completely be insensitive to all that is going on and all the cries and groans and the agonies of that soul. The reason for being cast down is set forth here. Have we a soul here that is walking in that path? And you come into the sixth verse and you say, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." Maybe be honest in those things of which our soul is cast down. Because here we have then what is the way the Lord would have his dear people walk is set for this. Again, you know, we said this morning that believers in the Lord, believers in God, do get troubled. And here, believers in God do get cast down. And they do have reason for it, because of the enemy. You know, Satan hates the people of God. He hates the things of God. He would try every way he can to have a go at them. Now, I often think with the children of Israel as a nation. Now, God dealt with them on a very public sphere. When they sinned, the Lord dealt with them and he caused them to be led away captive into their enemy's land. The enemy saw that. The enemy saw that people beaten down before their enemies and carried captive. It wasn't a thing hidden. It was open in view. You think of the people of God. Perhaps some of you here, and the way the Lord has dealt with you, others have seen it. Others have noticed what has happened. And some perhaps have even expressed, the Lord's forsaken them. Look what's happened. Look what they've walked in. And the Lord has said his dear people will be chastened. He will correct them. And very often it's not in a corner, it's open. And the enemy takes advantage, and men and women take advantage of it. And it's part of the humbling way for the people of God. But even when the Lord said with Nebuchadnezzar, he is my servant, I have sent the children of Israel into Babylon for their good. When that had he had done his work, then Babylon and the kings of Babylon, then they were dealt with. The Persians came, they were defeated, and the Lord dealt with them, and they were in the Lord's hand. And yet the Lord very often used wicked men to chasten his people. You think of Shimei when David was going up from Jerusalem, his own son pursuing him. Why was that? Because of the chastening of the Lord. The Lord said that he from thine own bowels shall arise, sleep with thy wives in the midst of this, before this sun. The sword shall not depart from thy house. Very open, and Shimei casting stones and dust, let him curse, for the Lord has bid him, it may be, the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. But the point is, when the Lord chastens, which is a mark of sonship, when he deals with his people, it is on, as it were, an open platform. Sometimes it is secret, yes, but other times it is open. And the enemy will take advantage of it. It will be such a shame, it will be seen, and the casting down in these things. And so here we have the cast down soul, and what is the path that is set before it? There's two things to set before a cast down soul. And one is hope in God, and the second is a way of remembrance. I want to look at these two points. The first one here is hope in God. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He finishes the psalm again with that. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hope in God. When Israel had sinned at one time and they had the prophets come to them and reprove them, they said, there is no hope. We'll go on all in our own way. They wouldn't repent, wouldn't turn, because they said their case was too desperate, and so there was no hope. It's a solemn thing to be left with no hope. But God has given his dear people a hope, and that is what is encouraged here. Not hope in self, not hope in some man, but a hope in God. It's like when David was at Ziklag and they talked of stoning him and the city was burnt with fire. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Our hope is brought at times when we are cast down into a narrow compass. And that hope is in God. Right from the very first promises of the promised seed of the woman, the promised Messiah, they hoped in him. We read of those that died in faith, and really they died in hope. And hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? May we be able, may we be helped to hope in God. You know, the psalmist here is referring to God still as his God. Now, I don't want to rule out those who may never have been able to say, the Lord is my God. But I want to particularly mention this to those who have been able to say that and in the position of the psalmist here. Because I fear it is one of the things that is a propensity in our circle, that when there is coming low and when there is being cast down like this, then very often it's to cast away that hope or cast away one's confidence and begin questioning whether the Lord really is our God. You know, those of you with children, if your children were playing outside and they fell over and injured themselves, you would expect them that they would pick themselves up if they could and they would run in to their mother or father. And they probably wouldn't say anything, just their cries, they'd know that you would take notice of them and care for them. But what would you think if they ran in and they said, are you really my mother? Are you really my father? Before asking for any help. Wouldn't you be grieved? You think, I've fed them all their life long. I've cared for them. I've watched over them. Why are they questioning in this greatest time of need? And when they're injured, why are they questioning now whether I really am their parent? But how many a child of God, when they will get low and after having such tokens for good or blessings in their soul, and then the enemy comes in and they're cast down and they cast away all of that knowledge that the Lord is their God. The Lord guards this. He said, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Despise not the day of small things, and he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord does not change concerning his people. The places that they come into are very real. The low places are very real. But notice in the psalmist here, though the enemy is saying, where is thy God? The enemy is even not bold enough to say, thou hast not got a God. Knowing where he is, and the psalmist, his hope still is in his God. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. A soul that is left with no hope at all will do what Judas did, who went out and hung himself. But the Lord gives his people that which is underneath, are the everlasting arms. And however small a glimmer and how a trembling hope that may be, yet it still is that hope in God. even if it be expressed as in Romans, that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That soul is to hope in God. Dear soul, if that is you, may your eyes still be up unto the Lord. May your hope be toward Him. May your expectation be is from Him. My help cometh from the Lord, says the psalmist, which made heaven and earth. And that is where our hope is to be placed. And so this time of being cast down, may it immediately bring to mind this psalm and the first instance of what is the path for that child of God to hope in God. And the very one of which the enemy is saying, where is he? Then how the enemy is defeated when he's led to this very part of this word of God that says back to that soul, hope thou in God. Well, the second thing is that it is to be a path and a way of remembrance. And in verse 6, we read, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Miser. Really, you say, remember thee from a land or a large place near Jordan, the Hermonites, a people, and then the hill Miser, an individual small place in that land. I want to look at the several ways that this may be looked at as to remembering. But before I do, there's a couple of things to really establish, to be reaffirmed. And that is, when we are to remember things, it is to bear in mind that when the Lord works, that He is to finish His work. If it is going to be a comfort and a strength remembering, then may we know that some of the things that we will remember may yet be unfinished providences in the hand of God. You think in the first chapters of, or I think it's the second chapter of Luke, where we read of Mary that she pondered these things in her heart. And twice it comes in that. She laid them up, what was being said concerning her son. How long did she need to lay those things up before they were fully understood? I've no doubt for 33 years or so, those things were remembered, but not fully understood. You know, the two on the way to Emmaus, they did not fully understand why that Christ should suffer and die in that way. His mother viewed our Lord upon the cross. And after He rose from the dead and appeared to them, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. There's a time for our understanding to be opened. There may be some of you at the moment, and you'll be remembering and thinking of things, and those have been the things that are fueling this from the enemy, where is thy God? And there are actually things that, as yet, they're not finished. There needs to be more things done. There are more things added. May we not limit the Lord as to time, thinking of Mary and the 30 or so years that she had to wait before more things were done, before the work was completed and Christ has suffered and died and risen again. And so we're to bear this in mind whenever we think of remembering, lest we fasten upon something to remember and it be as yet an unfinished work, lest in the very remembering it cast us down even more. But then the second thing to bear in mind is that in remembering, if something is to be a comfort and help, and especially to a cast down soul, then in remembering the Lord's work, or the remembering the Lord's word, it must be that the Lord does not change. That he is the same yesterday and today and forever. If we look at the word of God, well, we have it here in this psalm. If this psalm is to be any help to us, and that which is written aforetime is written for our learning, that we through comfort of the scriptures might have hope, then it must be that he, the Holy Spirit, the author of the word of God, has not changed. The things that are written here apply as much now as they did then. I am the Lord, I change not. Wherefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And it is that where the Lord then first puts the promises in the Garden of Eden, they're fulfilled in Christ's coming. Where he promises to Abraham that he shall bring his seed into a strange land. They shall be servants for 400 years, and the fourth generation will bring them out. All of these things were fulfilled, and he brought them into the promised land. The Lord does not change. And those purposes that he has towards his people, his counsel, he will fulfill. We think also that what the Lord does, he doesn't repent of. He doesn't bless a soul and then afterwards think, I should not have blessed that soul. He doesn't give that soul teaching and instruction and then say, that is too hard a case, I will not teach him anymore, I'll teach someone else. The one that begins the work finishes it. The author of faith is the finisher of faith. One of the articles of our faith is that we believe that the Lord never enlightens the non-elect to make them capable of receiving grace. The work of the Spirit in quickening of the new birth is a work decreed from eternity. Christ has that person given them him by his Father. He hath suffered for their sins on Calvary, and now in time is the time to call by grace. And that soul is first then quickened into life. The Lord is not going to suddenly change and say, it was all a mistake. No, there will be that certain performing of it. I know it is, and it is most solemn, it is left for the Church of God to be exercised, that there are those that appear to have begun, and they cast away all and turn back. And it is to be a warning for us, it is to be to examine our faith, and it is to ask that, will we also go away? To whom else can we go? We should not be, as it were, complacent in that. The Lord has given those that are to be warnings where it appeared to be the Spirit of God, but was not the Spirit of God. The apostle says that they went out from us, and that if they were of us, verily they would have remained with us. But they went out, and it was that it was made manifest that they were not those of us. But where the Lord has granted his blessings and visits, and that soul is still an exercised soul, and certainly if you're in this psalm and feeling cast down and attacked in this very way, you're in that position. It's not the position of a reprobate in the exercise of this psalm. Then it is that when we consider remembering then it is that the Lord does not change. And so the things that are to be remembered, they are to be a strength to that soul. They are given us for that. The children of Israel were told that they were to remember all the way the Lord thy God had led them these 40 years in the wilderness. And it is in the end of Psalm 107, in the overview of all the things that had happened, whoso is wise and will observe these things over a period of time, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We have then the psalmist as the path, is a path of remembrance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee. Again, it is something that is set before us, joined with a cast down soul. If you are cast down, may immediately that flag up to you, remember. Remember. That is the antidote, that is the help given by God for his people. Remember, what are they to remember? And we would then base that on this remember thee from. And there's three ways. First, I want to look at this as to remember thee from the places that we actually come into. We read together the prayer of Solomon. And that prayer was an answered prayer. The Lord said he answered it. And the Lord gave the fire for the altar, and the cloud filled the temple. And that prayer prophetically spoke of the children of Israel into all places that because of their sin that they would come, both physically and also spiritually, where it was said that every man should know the plague of his own heart. And where it was prophetically then spoken in those places where they were to look toward that temple and pray toward that temple. We know with the case of Daniel that this he did in Babylon three times a day. He opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and the temple, it sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a type. And in whatever place they came, they were to look there. Whether it be from the ends of the earth, they were to look there. Whether it was to be in Jonah's whale, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple, in the place where they are. Not to get themselves out of it. Not to bring themselves into a better place. But in that place. And so I will say to you here by the word of the Lord. Don't have thoughts that I will be bettered or a better position providentially, spiritually, whatever is that casting you down. That we are to remember the Lord and remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he has set forth in the temple. Destroy this temple, said the Lord, and I will raise it up again after 3 days. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is to be remembered and looked toward and prayed toward when we are cast down. I will remember thee from, whether it be the land of Jordan, whether it be the Hermonites, whether it be the hill Miser, whether it be from Swayze, Fenstanton, or Cranbrook, or Australia, or where you might be moved in Providence, or whether it be from the plague of your own heart, or the hospital bed, or wherever it be that you are brought under the chastening hand of God or tribulation. To remember the Lord from that place. Instant in prayer. Instant in supplication. Instant in seeking him. The Lord will never direct a poor sinner to remember him and yet the Lord not remember that sinner. I often feel there's a lot of encouragement in the Word of God in this way, where we are told towards the end of the world, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The manner of some is so much the more as you see the day approaching. And you can join that and turn it around the other way. If the Lord says for us not to forsake assembling together, he will not forsake the assembling with us. It's joined with it. The Lord does not command his people to go down into Galilee and then he not meet with them as he did with the disciples when he rose from the dead. He appointed them a place and he met with them there. And he has appointed them to remember him. Remember him when they're afar off. And he remembers them. The children of Israel in Egypt, he remembered them. He had respect unto them. He heard their groanings. They were his people. He remembered them in that way. And so may we in this remember the Lord and think of Solomon's prayer and the places that he was brought. May you be able to pray, and even if it is in groans, put your eyes up unto the Lord, like Jehoshaphat. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now the Lord appeared for them in that time. But then it was also to remember thee from the places of help. If we think of Jordan, and we think of the psalmist here, if he was to remember Jordan, what happened at Jordan? Jordan was on the threshold of the promised land. And the Lord wonderfully brought Israel through Jordan on dry land. The ark of the Lord stood in the midst of Jordan until all of the Israelites were over. It was that at which the Lord began the conquest in Canaan and established his covenant and his promises in giving them their lot and their inheritance. And so when the psalmist would go back to Jordan, he's going back to a time that was of great blessing. A time when the stones were put, the 12 stones, in the midst of Jordan and on the outside. When the children asked them, what meaneth these stones? You to tell them, the Lord brought us through on dry land. Downcast soul, have you a Jordan passage? Have you a Jordan to go back to and to remember thee from Jordan? Because the text says, remember thee from the land of Jordan. And you can think, if the Lord brings you back to from a place where he blessed you, and you begin to go, if you trace the children of Israel from Jordan, you get conquest after conquest. Yes, their sins, and where the Lord dealt with them because their sin, the valley of Achor, but the Lord did not utterly forsake them. The Lord chastened them, and he was with them. And there's a lot of encouragements and strengthenings to remember the Lord from then. We have the word Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Jacob would have gone back to his Bethel. Have we a place to go back to? We remember thee from. Sometimes it may be even into unregeneracy, where we remember instance, times of preservation when we had no care of the Lord whatsoever. And we can only remember those times now, looking back, and wonder at the mercy of God if he'd have taken us away then, so ignorant of him, and yet he lengthened out our days and brought us to know his name. And it's in remembering these things from these lands, from these places, perhaps from a people, he says here, from the Hermonites. And to go back to a people, and you remember those people. You know, I think of my path, and I remember the land of Australia. I remember the people that I was with there, and in church fellowship, and ministering to. I remember the home that I lived in for 10 years, and when I was called by grace, and from one room to another, the blessings the Lord gave me in each of those rooms. And associated with many spiritual blessings is a providence or a people. Those things that were joined to it. Those things that made it to be a memorable occasion. The Lord made it to be. We read in Psalm 111, He hath caused His wonderful works to be remembered. And He has. In the Church of God, He's given baptism and the Lord's Supper to cause His wonderful works at Calvary to be remembered by His people. And in their own lives as well, there will be those places that are remembrance places. That which the Lord has given you for such a time as this. Such a time as when you cast down, I remember thee from. And that soul goes back to those times. It's not as if we would live upon past experiences and just, it doesn't matter now. The trouble was a real trouble that the psalmist is in, and he wants to be brought out of it. He's waiting upon the Lord to bring him out of it and to bring him to yet praise the Lord. But while he is in this low valley, while he is waiting the Lord's time and purpose and good pleasure, he occupies till he come in remembering. I will remember the right hand of the years of the Most High. But there's a third way I remember thee from. And this is going through the New Testament and to our Lord. Remember thee from Jordan, the land of Jordan. What was significant about the land of Jordan there? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, there he began his public ministry. There he came unto John. There John said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There he came, and John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And our Lord says, Suffer it to be so now. And there from that land of Jordan, our Lord was baptized, and there he entered his public ministry and his path here below, openly showing before Israel. And as we remember him, our Lord and Saviour from the land of Jordan, where do we quickly come? He went from the water of Jordan, and the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And what was the devil saying to him? If thou art the Son of God, if thou art the Son of God, the temptations of our Lord. And we have to remember what he endured and what he went through immediately after making profession, as it were. Very often, the Lord's dear people will come into those times where the devil attacks them very much, would seek to destroy them if he could. We read when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, then came Amalek. He didn't go for the stronger ones at the front. He went to the back and sought to take those that were the little ones and the women and those that were weaker. And the enemy will seek to attack those lambs in Christ's fold. But blessed be God, there is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to remember him from the land of Jordan. Remember how that he went about doing good, performing those miracles that bore testimony and witness of his Godhead and of his Father's approval. How that he went to Calvary, how that he bore the sins of his dear people. We think of all that is set forth before us in the Gospels as that witness of the Lord's sufferings and his death and rising again. And the people of God are to remember these things, and especially at times when they are cast down. Here is the hope of the people of God. Here is he that said, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Here is he that visited his people. He is he of whom Anna spake to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here is he, the child that was set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ and that which he wrought upon this earth that is the hope for the people of God. Here is a cast down soul, and here is an advocate with the Father. Here is a sympathizing high priest that we have in heaven. Here is he who knoweth our frame, who remembereth that we are dust. Here is he that was wearied on the well, asleep in the ship. Here is he that is to be for his dear people, one that understands all of their case and all of their path. Here is he that cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our Lord did not say, art thou my God? Same as the psalmist here did not question that. But our Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For sins not his own, the sins of the people of God. May you be held, dear friend, not cast away your confidence, but that your confidence be more solidly placed upon God and his work alone, placed on the Lord, remembering that which he hath wrought at Calvary, remembering from whatever place you are brought into, and remembering that which he has already done for you and blessed you in. May we also remember this. When our Lord was to depart into heaven, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. And he promised the Comforter. And one of the works of the Comforter was to be the Remembrancer. And there may be times with you, I know there will, because they are with me. And I briefly mentioned some of the things with me where I can look back. Sometimes, you know, I can strain my memory as much as I like, and it's like there's a blank wall, and it's like the Lord has done nothing for me at all, and I try and remember and I can't. Or I remember and it is just as much dry events, and there's no help in it at all. And the Lord knows that. And he has given the Remembrancer. He has given his Holy Spirit. He shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that is very sweet when a soul, following what is set before us here, they want to remember. They see it is set forth, this is the path, and they can't. And as far as their own mind, it's completely gone. And then in comes the Spirit, and he brings it back to remembrance. And when that is so, it comes with sweetness and savour. It comes with a renewed. It said, the Lord said, thou hast forgotten, but I have not forgotten. I remember that place, and I bring it to your remembrance. Those are sacred times when the Lord brings it to remembrance, and he can do so in a moment faster than thought. Bring it as real as real into one's soul. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, sent from the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter that shall abide with you forever. And may it be then that in walking this path, we are brought to know the true, solid comforts of the Holy Spirit, and have a witness that we have a spiritual religion, a religion from above, a religion that is maintained there. The blessings come from above. The remembrance of it comes from above. The tokens are from above. And how that will strengthen us then to hope in him. May the Lord own his word, bless it, to the comfort of your souls. Help you to press on in that hoping and remembering and waiting upon him and coming in with the last verse of this psalm. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. There is the work of hope. I shall yet praise him. May there be that sacred time come for some of you here that you brought to come into the house of God and to testify that this is the day, this is the time when I can praise him. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell what he hath done for my soul. May the Lord bless you and bless his word. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £770, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And there will be a church meeting tomorrow evening, and our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and makes his mercy known. Hymn 511.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost the Comforter, be with you all. Amen.